Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of the day it is you are joining us. This is the Tulsa World Scene podcast with myself and my colleague, the lovely and talented Jimmy Trammell, talking about some of the things that are burbling up in the world of popular and high culture. Today we, well, there is some, speaking of burbling up, you've got something historic that you're focusing on this weekend.
Yeah, in Friday's Tulsa World, we'll have a story about the refurbishment of Big Ten Ballroom. And if you're unfamiliar with Big Ten Ballroom, it's not a ballroom dedicated to Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State football. It's Big Ten Ballroom was named given to a club in the 1940s. And from the 1940s to the 1960s, some of the greatest African-American music artists in history came through there to play. It was the club to play in Tulsa on the circuit. Just, you know, pick any name and they played there during that era if they were a superstar music artist. It fell into a state of disrepair, much like the Outsider's House, needed someone to save it. And the saving has occurred. It's been 15, 16 years. But Big Ten Ballroom has been restored to glory. It's really beautiful, James. I went out and looked at it last week, and they will have their first concert event since reopening on Saturday. It'll be a tribute to Ronnie Wilson of the Gap Band.
Okay.
So really hope people will check out the story, and better yet, go check out the venue because it's a really nice-looking place.
Well, I was going to say, where is it located?
It's on Apache, North Tulsa. I hate to recite the address in this Zoom and get it wrong, but if you just Google up Big Ten Ballroom, Tulsa, the address on Apache will pop up.
Well, you said it started out as a club, so I guess the building itself was added onto over the years to turn it into a ballroom, or, you know, when you think of ballroom, you think of a very large space.
It was a very large space. It was a concert hall with a big dance floor.
Okay.
But once it closed, it was used for other purposes. American Beauty Supply used it for storage. A church had bought it at one point, but it was in such a sad state that it had like half a roof. You could see daylight before the refurbishment took place. So Doc Shaw, who's responsible for the foundation, A Pocket Full of Hope, led the charge to rebuild Big Ten Ballroom. And like I said, it's one of the places you go in and you can tell just from the photos on the wall, the atmosphere, you can feel the ghosts that have been there.
Okay. Hopefully all benign as we're just still in the Halloween season as we record this. So, do you recall offhand some of the artists that, that had played there, just to give people a sense of the history?
Well, you know, Ike and Tina Turner, you know, James Brown, Count Basie, Etta James, you know, just pick a name and they played there.
So the whole gamut of African-American popular music came through.
As big as it gets. That's right.
Okay. And the first concert is going to be, you said Saturday.
Tribute to Ronnie Wilson of the Gap Band. Yarbrough and Peoples will be the headliner at the event. And then Saturday, this Saturday.
Which would be November 4th.
That's correct.
If memory serves me right. Okay. So, all right. Well, do they have a, do they have in place a group to keep it going? Because I know, you know, maintaining a concert hall and a performance
right.
space takes a village. So are they, or do they have a full lineup of shows that they're wanting to do?
Well, I guess I gave you half the story. The other half
okay.
of the story is if you're not familiar with A Pocket Full of Hope, people can look up A Pocket Full of Hope on the internet. But it's basically a youth program for children. I shouldn't say children, young adults, to empower themselves through the arts and other things. And it is the home base, the headquarters for all those youths from A Pocket Full of Hope to go and practice their craft. So I don't know if they have, you know, concert dates set up like they would in the 40s through the 60s for this act, this act, this act. But when it's not being used for a concert, it's certainly being used by all the young adults in A Pocket Full of Hope.
Well, and that's a neat thing, because because I'm sure that a great majority of the young people that will be involved are, you know, African American, and so to do their own music or performance or whatever they're going to do in a place where they know, like you said, the, you know, the ghost of stars of the past still live. I'm sure that's probably as inspiring as anything else could be.
Absolutely. I mean, just to look at the pictures on the wall, you know, make you want to be a part of that place.
Okay. Well, speaking of pictures on the wall, I'll have a story this Sunday about the latest exhibit at the Bob Dylan Center, which is tied into the release of a new book called Bob Dylan Mixing Up the Medicine, which is a 600-plus page. The authors call it an inside-out biography that began as when the Bob Dylan archives were acquired by the George Kaiser Foundation in 2016, and up until the time that the Bob Dylan Center opened in 2020, the staff had brought in a number of writers and artists and other things for various events, and a lot of them were either commissioned to or inspired to write essays about perhaps a specific song by Bob Dylan or a specific album or this sort of thing, something about it that about Dylan that they really liked. And those essays are kind of the signposts along the way to the rest of the book, which is written by Mark Davidson and, oh dear, the name is Parker Fischel, I believe, is the other co-writer and co-editor. It features a lot of things that are in the Bob Dylan archive that have never been seen before, and would probably rarely get put out because they're, you know, primarily paper and are fragile, like a letter from George Harrison to Bob Dylan thanking him for having them over for Thanksgiving, you know, that kind of thing. The exhibit features a lot of the items that inspired these essays by, I think there's like about 20 writers, including poet Joy Harjo, who's the former, you know, poet laureate of the USA, and Peter Carey, who's a Booker Prize winning English writer who oddly enough writes about the Tulsa Race Massacre. Or maybe not oddly, but I mean, that's an unusual, it's not the topic you would expect him to do. Sure. And there's a lot of photographs that haven't been seen before that are going to be up, ranging from very well-known photographers to, you know, candid shots that, you know, somebody was in the right place at the right time. And the line, the title, Mixing Up the Medicine, comes from, do you know the song?
I do not.
Subterranean Homesick Blues. It's the opening line. Johnny's in the basement mixing up the medicine. And one of the reasons that song is so well known is because there's a music video. That's the only phrase for it, where Dylan is in an alley and Allen Ginsberg is talking to somebody else. I can't remember, but he's holding up cards that with the lyrics that he keeps dropping as the thing goes on. And that's, some people think if that's not the first music video, it's one of the first ones. Hmm. So it's fascinating to to check out. And you know, the book is a tome. I believe it retails for $100. There is a copy that's on display at the museum, and I'm sure they will sell you a copy if you want. And the Bob Dylan Center by itself, just, you know, even if you don't go upstairs to the special exhibit section, the center itself is a fascinating thing to go see. And we'll have a story about that coming up this Sunday. What else have you got coming up for us, Jimmy?
Well, I sneaked a peek at the new Bass Reeves miniseries. If you live in Oklahoma, you may be familiar with Bass Reeves, because he did a lot of his manhunting in Indian Territory and Oklahoma after statehood. But this miniseries that debuts Sunday is going to introduce basically the world to this legendary lawman who is, renowned for his achievements.
Okay. All right. Well, we're also going to have a review of the Canebrake, the resort and spa and restaurant out in Wagner County that was open from like 2007 to 2016, closed suddenly. It reopened last August 2020, and we've finally been able to get out there. And we'll have a review of the restaurant. It's where the main question is it worth the drive? Because it's an hour from Tulsa. And the answer is, yeah, it's pretty much worth the drive. So we'll get more about that in the Tulsa World that you can find at fine newsstands and convenience stores everywhere, and also online at tulsaworld.com. Well, that's about what we've got for this week. We thank you all for listening in, and we will gladly see you later.
Behave.